Have you ever felt like an observer in your own life? That's precisely where Isadora Bentley finds herself on the eve of her 30th birthday, contemplating her final meal in a Stop and Shop parking lot. Despite her brilliant mind and PhD-level research skills, Isadora's existence has become a study in isolation, a dead-end job, zero meaningful connections, and only her Sir David Attenborough-narrated inner monologue for company. When she stumbles across a magazine article titled 31 Ways to Be Happy Today by Dr. Grace Monroe, the socially awkward researcher approaches it like any good scientist would, with skepticism and methodology. She decides to conduct an experiment to disprove it, treating happiness like a research project with herself as the reluctant test subject. What makes Isadora's journey so compelling is her genuine belief that happiness is something that happens to other people, a variable she hasn't been able to isolate in her own equation. She watches colleagues laugh over lunch breaks and catalogs these moments with the detachment of a naturalist studying an exotic species. Through her methodical approach to joy, we see reflected our own tendency to overthink happiness, to analyze rather than experience it. How many of us have found ourselves standing outside our own lives, clipboard in hand, wondering why joy seems so accessible to others yet remains elusive to us? Isadora's first experiment, Smile More, proves surprisingly difficult. After practicing smiles in the mirror, categorizing them as serial killer or constipated, she attempts to smile at baseball players in the cafeteria with disastrous results. One asks if she's having a medical emergency. While documenting this failure, she notices an elderly man feeding pigeons. His peaceful demeanor calms her. She attempts one final smile, softer, less rehearsed. The man smiles back warmly, stirring a peculiar warmth, like drinking hot chocolate on a cold day. When he introduces himself as Marty, they share a genuine conversation about his late wife Shirley, whom he met in that exact spot decades ago. For the first time, Isadora notes, I found myself engaged in human connection rather than data collection. This unfamiliar flutter might be happiness, or perhaps just indigestion from her cafeteria lunch. Through weekly meetings on their bench, Marty becomes her bridge to meaningful human relationships, showing her that connections can't be reduced to variables. They must be experienced. Just as Isadora settles into her controlled experiment, Dr. Cal Baxter, a tall, bearded professor in Tweed, crashes into her world. When assigned to help organize his research, Isadora panics, insisting she works better alone due to a past betrayal by another professor. Their initial interactions are awkwardly endearing, accidentally swapping coffee cups, creating what she considers an intimate cup kiss, and blurting compliments about his straight teeth. Cao's research proves particularly unsettling. His book explores how technology affects human connections and suggests humans fundamentally need each other for happiness, directly contradicting Isadora's philosophy. What makes Cal compelling is how he challenges Isadora's beliefs without trying to change her. He values her research, defends her work to others, and sees the brilliant, wounded person beneath her awkward exterior. Their connection grows through shared appreciation for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Real Pencils, and his acceptance of her social fumbling. As Isadora's experiment progresses, it unexpectedly expands when she meets Darby and her toddler Diego after a crash outside her apartment. Despite Isadora's reluctance, Darby pulls her into a yoga class and her vibrant social circle. The yoga studio scene parallels Isadora's middle school trauma, like Isadora's old wound. The most meaningful connection forms with Darby's bookish 10-year-old daughter, Delilah, who feels like an outsider. When Delilah reveals classmates call her Delilah Pigstyla, Isadora shares she was called Isadorcus Maximus. Their bond triggers a memory of herself at 10, praying for a friend who would understand her. Realizing Delilah is the delayed answer to that prayer. Through these relationships, Isadora's experiment transforms from a solitary pursuit to a community effort, becoming uncontrolled, messy, and infinitely more meaningful. As Isadora's relationship with Cal deepens, her unresolved trauma threatens everything. Her ex, Alex, had promised equal credit on their research, only to publish without her name and claim all her work as his own. Later, after hinting at something important, he broke up with her, saying he needed someone more fun. This betrayal becomes the lens through which Isadora views her growing feelings for Cal. When she spots Alex in a blue Mustang, the same car Cal had borrowed, her suspicions explode, and she decides to end things despite evidence to the contrary. The confrontation with Alex marks a turning point. She finally stands up for herself, acknowledging she allowed Alex to use her out of fear of being alone. She declares she's done hiding and underestimating herself, a moment both liberating and terrifying. This subplot effectively illustrates how past wounds distort our perception of present relationships, making us see danger where none exists. Isadora's new life faces dual crises, discovering Cal knows Alex and Marty's heart attack. She spirals for 3 days, calling in sick, avoiding hygiene, and surviving on junk food until Delilah breaks in with tough love. If you want to have good friends, you have to be a good friend. This confrontation shows Isadora how her self-protection hurts those who care about her. Visiting Marty in the hospital, she apologizes for her absence. His simple response, "You're here now," encourages her to give people a chance rather than assuming the worst. The turning point comes when she finds Cal's manuscript listing her as co-author, with sticky notes highlighting her contributions, the exact opposite of Alex's betrayal. His analysis of Doreen, clearly Isadora, concludes that happiness, like human connection, is a choice. This challenges Isadora's belief that unhappiness stems solely from external factors. She finally understands Marty's wisdom. Refusing to feel life's pain means never experiencing its joy. Isadora's transformation culminates in two symbolic acts. For step 21, she documents every resentment against parents, bullies, friends, and herself, then burns each grudge in her fireplace, accidentally triggering the building's fire alarm. Standing outside with neighbors in the Chicago winter, she finds herself genuinely laughing. The chaos embodying the messy but liberating process of letting go. When confronting Cal, she admits her happiest moments were their small shared experiences, late-night conversations, impromptu dance parties, quiet crossword mornings. She recognizes that while he can't make her happy, she wants him as her partner through everything. The novel concludes on her 31st birthday, as she presents her findings, earning a promotion. At her surprise party, she realizes happiness comes from embracing imperfection. Her experiment revealed that joy requires both methodology and wonder, following proven practices while remaining open to unexpected results. By participating in life rather than merely observing it, we create lives that are messy, unpredictable, and infinitely more fulfilling.